Amen. Thank you, Brother Craig. You know, that's old-fashioned revival music. If you would have been alive during the days of Billy Sunday, you would have heard people come and sing behind the pulpit that way, or D.L. Moody's Day, you'd hear that. And that was a wonderful, wonderful song, and thank you so much for that. I want to speak this morning on ways to lengthen your life, ways to lengthen your life. Now, I've got to ask you the question. How many of you would like to, and predominantly it's going to be the adults that's interested, and young people think they'll never die, but how many of you would like to lengthen your life? Raise your hand, lengthen your life. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. A lot of young people not even voting because they think, well, you know, hey, I'm going to live to be 120, and so that's good. And so praise the Lord for that. Of course, now they look at people that's as young as 61 as being old. That's incredible to me. I don't understand that. But now watch this, if you will. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. The Bible says this, the fear of the Lord. Now watch it carefully what it says. Prolongeth what? Talk to me. Prolongeth days. Now watch this. It says, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So God says this. He says, for those that fear the Lord, I'm going to lengthen your days. But for those that are wicked, I'm going to shorten your years. Now, can you imagine walking through that, which is a cemetery? And as you're looking at those that are the cemetery plots at the headstones, can you imagine looking at those headstones, and if it could have been that that person would have lived for God, God would have lengthened their days. Oh, but how many headstones do you see in cemeteries across the world where God shortened their years because of that which was a wicked lifestyle? And so how is it? Is there some Bible principles that we could look at this morning that would help us to understand the ways that God will lengthen our life? Yes, there is. Let me show you a couple of them, if I may. You'll know this one right off the bat. I'm sure even young people have heard this one right off the bat. And that is statement number one, by obeying your parents. By obeying your parents, okay? You'll know that one right off the bat, and it is given with a promise to obey and to honor them. Now watch it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now let's stop there for a moment. So parents, you have a God-given responsibility to display to your children. You have a God-given responsibility to teach your children to live by an example what it is to obey you in the Lord. In the Lord. Now, there's some things you're supposed to teach them in the Lord. You can find out in your Bible, as you study your Bible, the things you're supposed to teach your children in the Lord. Well, I think that we could classify some of them right now. We could say going to church is something you can teach your children to do in the Lord. We could say that reading the Bible is something you could teach your children to do in the Lord. We could say that teaching them to pray, as of course the disciples, as we studied on Wednesday night, came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray, even as John taught his disciples to pray. Okay, so I would dare say that you could teach your children to pray in the Lord. You can teach your children to tithe and give offerings in the Lord through the local church. You could teach your children, if you would please, to listen to godly music, sing godly music, not the ungodly music of the world, but godly music. And so doing so, you're teaching them to obey you in the Lord. You could teach them about godly dress. You could teach them that, and you could teach them to obey you in the Lord. You could teach your children, if you would please, to be able to serve others, and to be able to serve others in the Lord. You could teach your children how to be able to obey different things in society, such as the speed limit, and not to break rules or to break laws. And you could teach them to do that because it is honorable to that which is the Lord. You could teach them how to honor their grandparents, your parents. Teach them how to honor, okay? And you could teach them how to do that in the Lord. But you could also teach them how to honor older people. older people. We've often taught here that no older person ought to have to open a door by themselves. If there's a younger person standing by, that younger person ought to make haste to be able to go and open the door for that person, to be able to assist them or to walk them to their car if they need so, to have that type of help, or to be able to get up and allow them to sit down if they're standing in a position and you have a seat that's the only one available. All right. And so we see this. The Bible says to children, it says to honor your parents in the Lord. Then it says this, for this is right. So you don't have to consider, is it right? Should I do it? Is it something that's important? No, God said this. He says to obey your parents in the Lord, and he tells you this right up front. It's right. It's just right to do. Well, what if my dad and I disagree? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, what if my mom and I, we disagree? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, what if there's a time where I think my parents are wrong? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, wait a minute. It goes on here. Then it says to honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first command with promise. Now, honoring simply means this. You esteem them. You esteem them. If you would, please treat them with dignity. Have a place of respect for them in your heart. You honor them. You honor them. You watch out for them. You take care of them. You encourage them. Okay? Then it says this, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long, it says, on the earth. All right, so God says this. One of the ways, of course, to be able begin to extend your days is to obey your parents, and then, of course, to honor them. Here's what it says over in the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 12. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. Isn't it neat to see there's no contradiction in the Bible? The Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible says that thy days may be long, it says, upon the land that the Lord God hath given thee. All right? So what do? We honor our parents. We're talking about how can you lengthen your life. Statement number two, by praying and weeping. Praying and weeping. Now, we're talking about when you get into a physical dilemma. We're talking about all of a sudden when your health begins to fail. You pray and you weep. Here's what God says over in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 2. You have the story of Hezekiah. The Bible says in verse 2 that he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord, saying. So what did he do? He turned his face. You've heard me talk about this often before. He turned his face away from the crowd and he turned his face to that which is the Lord. The Bible says, and it came to pass, it says, for Isaiah, it says, was gone out, it says, to the middle of the court. What happened? The word of the Lord came on him, saying. Now, all right, so here's Hezekiah. Hezekiah is a sick man, nigh unto death. He turns his face to that which is the wall, away from the people. He begins to pray. Now, you understand that here Isaiah is, the man of God. Before he gets out to the center of the court, here's what happens. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 5, says, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father. It says, I have heard thy prayer. Listen to it. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. And the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. In verse 6, it says this, and I will add, listen to it now, listen to the wording, and I will add, God's always consistent, and I will add unto thy days, listen to it now, 15 years. He said, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to add on to your days because, remember Hezekiah when he was praying, we saw it in Scripture a moment ago. He says this, he says to remember, listen to it again, if you will. Hezekiah, he prayed, and I'll read it to you specifically. The Bible says in verse 3, and it says, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now, it says, how that I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. And the Bible says, has done that which is good in thy sight. Hezekiah wept sore. All right, so here Hezekiah is, as we read that just now, you see that he's causing God to remember. You know, some people can't pray this, friend. You know why some people can't pray this? Because they've done nothing for God to cause him to remember. But as you get older, you know, I don't know, maybe your health fails or something, you can go back to God and say, now, God, remember, remember, but you got to do something in order to help him to remember. It'd be good to say, now, God, remember, I've tried to rear my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And God, remembered, I've been faithful to church. Would you remember that? Would you remember, God, that I tried to lead people to Christ? Would you remember? Would you remember? Would you remember? All right? So here's what we understand. How is it that you can lengthen your days? You obey your parents. You honor your parents. What do? You pray and you weep. Now, I know, you understand this, please, if you will, okay? God wants you to be close to him. He's your father. He can come through for you when nobody else can come through for you. When you have a lonely day, he doesn't walk out on you, he walks into you. When things of disparity comes in your life, he's right there for you. He can help you every single step of the way, but you've got to be willing to turn to him. I know as Christians, here's what we do. We have a desire to be close to God, but we don't become close to God. We have a desire for God to answer prayers, but we don't pray them. We have a desire to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but we never ask him. We have a desire, if you will, to be able to please him. And we do. We have that desire. I want to please you, God. I want to please you, God. I want to please you, God. But you never step out to please him. All right? Hezekiah was not that way. Hezekiah was a man that was able to come back and say, now, God, remember this. And God, remember this. And God, remember this. And God, remember this. It would be good for you to be able to do that. And by the way, you want your children to turn out as far as trying to serve Jesus Christ. It's good for them to look back and say, I remember Dad when. I remember Mom when. When perilous times come, when trouble comes, when a time of rejoicing comes, they remember who Mom and Daddy pointed them to. Here's what we see. Statement number one, how is it that we can lengthen our life? By obeying the parents, by honoring them. Statement number two, I said by praying and weeping. Statement number next, by being honest. By being honest. Here's the deal. Did you know that when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell within you? Amen. When you are not honest, he's going to convict you. When that conviction comes, it's almost going to be like, if you will, please, that which was Saul, that he's walking down the Damascus road, if you will, please, who later became known as the Apostle Paul, and he was going against the church. I worry about people that go against the church. It's the only institution that Jesus Christ ever established, and they think that they have more power in their own minds and in their own lives to be able to go against the church. And here, Saul was that way. Saul was a persecutor of the church. And the Bible says that as he's going down the Damascus road, that he kicked against the pricks. You know what that means? He's not sleeping well at night. He's tossing and turning. Things are not well with him. His spirit is not good. And there's no peace inside of his heart. There's no peace inside of his mind. And so, wait a minute now. And so, when you're an honest person before God, there's less stress. There's less confrontation against God, if you will, in the things of God. Oh, I've seen it as I preached in youth camps or across America, where young people, yes, young people, would sit in church pews, and when the invitation time is given, they don't budge. I've heard preachers say it. I've never seen it before until one time I was preaching up in the North Carolina area, and I was preaching one night, and there was a girl. She grabbed a hold of the back of the pew with one hand and the back of the pew with the other hand, and she held it with such a tight grip that her knuckles turned white. She was not going to budge. She had decided it doesn't matter what God wants, doesn't matter what that preacher says up there. It doesn't matter what they sing as the invitational song. I'm not moving. I remember calling those counselors together, and I said, we need to pray for that girl. We called her name out. I said, you need to pray for her, and if you're willing to fast, you need to fast, because she's got a whole slew of young people, and if she doesn't break, those young people are probably not going to break. She's the leader of a little group. And boy, we begin to earnestly seek God's face, and we begin to pray. And about the second night into preaching, she started to get stirred. Third night, she broke. She came forward, and the invitation that night lasted to over 1 o'clock in the morning, with people getting right with God as they returned to their bunks down at the gymnasium area. Now, can I tell you, you be honest with God. You let God work in your life. Don't kick against the pricks. If God is working in your life to be able to do something, then don't stand hard against God. Don't get a stone face against God. You be that person that says, God, whatever you want. God, however you want. I'll be willing to do whatever you want. Now, just because God tells you something to do, it doesn't mean that you might like it. You know, there's several times when I was coming up as a young Christian, I'd hear somebody preach something and I'd say, who? That's rough. Wonder if that's true. And I'd get my Bible and I'd read it and find out, boy, he was right on. You know, the more a person lives in the flesh, can I tell you, the more they'll disagree with God. But when a person submits themselves to God, it's easy. It's easy. That's why somebody told me one time, they said, preacher, I wish you wouldn't preach on hell. I preached on hell many times. They said, I wish you wouldn't preach on hell. I said, why did you not want me to preach on hell? They said, because every time you preach on hell, I get under conviction. I said, let's visit that for a little bit. Want to? I said, let's talk about it. You want to? They said, well, sure, there's probably nothing to talk about, but I'm just telling you, I would rather you not, as my pastor, preach on hell. I said, okay, now we're going to talk about that. Well, I don't have time. Oh, yeah, we're going to make time. And so finally, I convinced them to come, and we sat down and talked, and come to find out they had made a profession of faith but never had a possession of faith. And so every time they heard a message on hell, they got convicted. They didn't want to hear it. Oh, you know what? Come on now. Don't you like to come to church where you hear the Word of God taught and you're in full agreement with the Holy Spirit? Isn't that good? Isn't it good to be so right with God that no matter what the preacher preaches, it doesn't step on your toes? Now, don't get this way. Not stepping on your toes, but you sure do like to look around and see who it is stepping on. No, you let God be God. You let God take care of matters. But here's what we understand. We understand that we're supposed to be honest. That God speaks to your heart about it. It don't matter if somebody else comes to the altar or not. It doesn't matter if anybody else makes that decision or not. If God speaks to your heart about something and you take care of that between you and God, God loves you personally enough to be able to speak to your heart personally. Here's what the Bible says, Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide, it says, things honest in the sight of all men. So be honest in the sight of all men. Be honest. Brother Yao and I went out soul winning yesterday, and we were out for, 4 hours or 5 hours together. And I said, Brother Yao, I said, now, you know, my family, when they like to eat, they have certain places that they like to go eat. But I'm one of these fellows, I like to check out the hole in the walls. Let's go check out a hole in the wall. You want to? And he said, well, if you want to, I said, look right over there. There's an Asian restaurant, and that classifies as a hole in the wall. Yes. Nobody is there. Now, that means one of two things. That means that the food is not good. Or that means that the food was so good that everybody came at one time and they ate and left. Because it was about 1, 2 o'clock or so. And so I said, but I'm hungry, and that place right there is calling us. You want to go? He said, well, if you want to. I said, well, that's a good deacon. Let's go. So we went to an Asian restaurant, and wasn't nobody in the place. I mean, it sat probably 100 people. Big place. But a little hole in the wall. You know, just one of those little strip mall things. And so we went in. We sat down. Lady came over, and she spoke, I don't know, Chinese, Japanese, some type of knees. And she came over and she started speaking. And I spoke up. Oh, she said, English. And I said, English. And then thank the Lord they had numbers. You ever go to some of these restaurants where they have these names? Yeah. I mean, you couldn't read them even if you were born in the country. Yeah. But they had these names, but they had these numbers. And this was like M1, M2, M3, M4, and all different assortments of a conglomeration of numbers and letters. And so I said, I want like number 15C. You say, what is that? That's called chicken and rice. And so lady said, okay. And so she went and got it. And I said, what are you getting? He said, I'm playing it safe. Give me what he's getting. And so we sat there and then we were able to witness to people. We were able to talk to people as some people started to straggle to come in. A businessman we talked to and witnessed to and stuff like that. All right. Now, but I wanted to be honest with him. He said, do you really want to go? I said, yeah. I really want to go. Now, he enjoyed it so much. He said, if I'm your soul winning partner next week, can we go for pizza? Now, watch this, if you will. Here it says, don't recompense, don't give, if you will, evil for evil. Don't do that. He says, but provide, it says, things that are honest in the sight of all men. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, you know it well. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things, and listen to the very first listening here, whatsoever things it says are true, whatsoever things are honest, He says, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So he tells you what to think on. He says, think on those things that are honest. Think on those things. By the way, if you practice being honest with people, people will begin to trust you. I have a man that works, that Brother Butler has graciously introduced me to, because they close Sears down here, automotive. Oh, I like Sears. I had all my stuff done at Sears, all my oil changes. I had the privilege to lead three of those fellows to Christ. And so they one day came to me and they said, Preacher, you showed us how to be saved. That's worth more than all the money in the world. I said, well, thank you. They said, so from now on, we're going to give you my discount. One guy said that. Well, the other guy heard him and said, well, I got saved too. He said, I'd like for him to have my discount. And I said, well, I've got an idea. Don't get ahead of me. I said, you can put them together. The other guy spoke up and he came in. He said, what are you guys doing? He said, we're trying to figure out how to be a blessing to Pastor Wells. And they said, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to give him my discount, and I'm going to give him my discount. He said, well, I think I could pitch in there too. So every time I go there, I get a 30% discount. Now, wait a minute, though. I never asked for that. But I was honest with showing them the gospel. I was honest with taking time with them. And in so doing, they graciously wanted to do something, because one day somebody cared enough about their soul that they received the gospel. Well, they sold the place there, and those fellows had to go get other employment. So Brother Butler, he has a man that does work, and he's I think Muslim, right? Muslim fella. And boy, I tell you what, I'm working extra hard on him. Every time I get to see him, I talk to him about the Lord. Why? Because religion doesn't save a person, but that relationship with Christ and Christ being your Savior, that's what saves a person. Now, may I say this? Be honest, okay? It'll lengthen your life, help you sleep better at night. Statement number one, obey your parents, okay? Honor your parents. Pray and weep when troublesome times come. Rely on Him. He can answer prayer. Listen to me now. He can answer prayer. He did it for Hezekiah. Use Hezekiah as your example. Say, God, I'm having trouble in this area. Help me now. Turn to Him. Pray to Him. Ask Him to help. He's a hearing God. He's a God that answers prayer. He cares about you. He loves you. He wants to be able to help you in your distressful times. All right? Then what do you do? Be an honest person. Statement number next. By hating covetousness. By hating covetousness. You say, well, what's that got to do? Well, listen to it. Over in the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. It says, thy neighbor's house. Okay, here's a person that, what is covet? Well, covet means to crave. It means to lust after. It means to strongly desire. Okay, so, you know, you're living in your house and you got a neighbor just built a house right next to you and it's nice. And now you're saying, boy, I tell you what, I wish I had it. Somebody bought a car. You're still driving your car. Well, I wish I had it. Somebody got married. You're still not married. I wish I had her. I wish I had him. Well, after a couple years, they may wish you had them too. But now wait if you watch and think about this. To hate covetousness. The Bible says, thou not shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet, it says, thy neighbor's wife, nor the manservant, nor the maidservant, it says, or his ox, or his ass, or it says, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Anything. That means a hoe. That means a shovel. That means a dirt pick. That means a water hose. Hello? That means the driveway they have. The clothes they wear. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, that's a nice outfit, that's a nice suit, nothing wrong with that. But don't you walk away saying, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. Don't be that person that would covet after, if you would please, those type of things. You know, the other day, I was going to say this in my announcement times as we discussed, of course, things happening and about the funeral that we had here for Brother Sylvester Matthews. What a blessing. I think, I don't know how many preachers was here, I'd say 14, 15 preachers or so that stood, that said he had had an influence on their lives. You know, 90 years of age, served God. But here's what I admired about that man. He was just a person that accepted what was with a good spirit, a good heart, and he had a servant's heart, a soul winner. Yeah. And so we were able to honor, I think there's 408 that came, 150 plus is watching on the live stream. And so, but we were able to honor that man for all the years that he had served. Now, can I tell you, people that have covetousness in their heart, they're not honored by many people. Because it's all about selfish, selfish, selfish. And I know Brother Matthews, and if he was here and was sitting down there and he was paying good attention as we were having his funeral, he would say, I wish they wouldn't have said that. I wish they wouldn't have brought that to attention there. You know, I did that for the Lord. I didn't do that for anybody to say anything about. I just did it because I love Jesus. Well, you know, a person that's got all mixed up with this covetousness stuff, it's all about them. It's all about the things. You have to be careful, my dear friend, and I love you, but listen, you've got to be careful about buying all the new stuff when it comes out. Got a new smartphone. It only costs $4,000. Then you go to your mom and you say, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. It makes that game go just a little bit quicker. No, you don't have to buy the newest and the all-improved stuff that comes out. By the way, it's good to let it come out and be out there in society a little bit just to see if it still stays together and doesn't fall apart. Here's what we see. I'm saying, how is it we can lengthen our days? We can lengthen our days. We can lengthen our life, if you would please, by obeying our parents, by giving them honor, by praying and weeping when physical disparities come, by being honest, by hating that which is covetous. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. By obeying God's word. By obeying God's word. By obeying God's word, you can be an individual that will live longer. When I first got saved, I heard a preacher preach this one time, and I said, boy, that's good. I think I'll listen and do that. That's so good. Preacher said, if you want to obey God, he said, the easiest way to obey God is to find out what God commands. So I took a yellow highlighter, and I went through the very first Bible that I had, and every command, I read it through. I took my time, and I was reading my Bible through that year, and I started highlighting every command I ever saw. Every command I ever saw. Then I took a little notebook and I wrote down those commands. Even if they were the same, I'd write them down. And I'd say, okay, it's easy to obey the commands. All right? Then that preacher said, if you want to get close to God, he said, then you find out what God hates. Well, I did the first year, I did the commands. The second year, I did the hates. So I took a different color highlighter. I went through my Bible, and I highlighted all the hates. Everything that God hated. And I said, okay, if God hates them, then I don't need to like them. I need to stand on God's side, not against God's side. So I all right. And then he said this. He said, then go through the Bible and highlight what God desires. What he desires. So then I went through my Bible and I highlighted all the desires of God. Then he said this. He said, go through your Bible and highlight all the promises that God says, you do this, and if you do this, I'll do this. A connecting promise. So I went through my Bible with a different highlighter, and I highlighted all the promises that God said, if you do this, I'll do this. If you do this, I'll do this. And so then he said delights. And so the last one was delights. And so I went through and highlighted all the delights. How is it that you can be able to delight yourself in the Lord? Now, can I tell you, by the time I got done doing that, it created a thirst inside of my heart to be able to obey his commands. By the time I got done going through the Bible and highlighting all the things that God hates, it created a desire in my heart to stand with God against some things. I'm saying this, when I saw the promises of God, when I saw the things that God desires, when I saw all those things, you know what I did? It developed a close relationship with God. You know, one of the best things you could do if you ever get hired by a boss is to find out what his commands are. What's the things that are top of his list? This is what he commands. This is what he charges. This is what he wants you to do. Then you fall right in line there. And find out what he hates. Find out what he hates. Does he like cream in his coffee? Does he like it black? Find out what he hates. Is it okay for you to be late, or does he want you on time? Find out what he hates. Find out things, all right? I'm saying this. I'm saying these things that we're talking about this morning can help us to be able to understand when it comes to obeying God. Let me read this to you and I'm done. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, the Bible says, of course, Samuel speaking to King Saul. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken, it says, than the fat of rams. All right, what's he saying? He's saying, I saw you shouldn't have went in there and did that sacrifice. It would have been better if you just obeyed, let people fulfill their rightful positions. But no, you decided that you would take, and you would take it upon yourself to do what you should not do. All right, so it's good by obeying God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 40 be the last verse I read to you. The Bible says, thou shalt keep, it says, his statutes and his commandments. It says, which I command thee this day, it says, that it may, watch it, go well with thee. Amen. But he doesn't stop there. That thy children, it says, that with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest live long, listen to the words, thou mayest live, it says, thou mayest prolong thy days, it says, upon the earth, which the Lord God have given forever. Now watch this, if you will. Wouldn't it be good if you visit the cemetery one day, and you say, that person died when they were 37. I'll tell you what is it, God, that I can do to be able to lengthen my days so that you could give me to age 38? God, what is it that I could do to be able to lengthen my days so you could give me to 41, to 61, to 71, to 81? He gave Hezekiah 15 years. You know, now you're going to have stand up. You're going to have all sorts of people who's going to try and drag on you. You will. You're going to have people that's going to try and drag on you. You're going to have people that's going to say, now, wait a minute. You know, you're going too far for Christ. Right. You're going to have people that's going to say, now, wait a minute. Don't be an extreme Bible believer. Don't be a Bible thumper. You be somebody, if you will, that you do the things that are accepted by everyone. Well, you don't want to be that way. But you're going to have people that kind of drag you. They'll pull on you and try and get your attention. What do you do with that? You turn around and, no, don't do that. But here's what you do. You break away and you say, okay, I've got to follow the Lord. Here's what I found out. Thank you, dear brother. Here's what I found out years ago when I was way back in high school. So this is like an age-old lesson. I didn't have to go to my friends. I got saved. I didn't have to go to my friends and say to my friends, I didn't have to do this. I didn't have to go to my friends and say to my friends, now look, I'm saved. Therefore, I can't hang around you no more. I mean, the things you're doing, things I'm doing, they don't match. I didn't have to do that. Here's what I did. When I got saved, I started going to my friends. And I said, I'm going to heaven now. And on this little piece of paper right here called a track, I'm going to show you what somebody showed me so you can go to heaven too. All of a sudden, it began to spread around North Carolina High School that Mike got religion. But I already had religion. I was already a Catholic boy coming up. I had religion. So then I wanted to make sure they understood it. And so I went to my history teacher, and I said, now look, I said, I want to be able to help, and what do I do? He said, well, I think you ought to start maybe a Bible club, and I'll come, and I'll be the one that will sit in there with you, but it has to be student activated. But I'll sit in there. Mr. Boone said that. And so I said, okay. And so I said, so what's a Bible club? He said, well, that's where you use the Bible. I said, I don't know nothing about the Bible. He said, you better learn it quick if you're going to start it. And I said, well, I want to help them. And he said, well, start a Bible club. So I went to a man in my church, and I said, look, somebody suggested I start a Bible club in a public school. Tell me what to do. He said, well, Mike, you don't know the Bible. I said, I've already come to that conclusion. He said, here's what I would do if I was in your shoes. He said, I'd have prayer first day, have prayer, and say, look, this is going to be an executive Bible club for those that want to learn the Bible. I will answer all your questions. And I looked at him, and I said, you're crazy. I can't answer all their questions. I don't even know what the answers are. He says, and here's what you do. He said, you write down what their questions are. And he said, you come to me or come to Dr. Smith or somebody else, and we'll give you the answers. And then you can go back and you can answer their questions. And then the next week you say this. I want to answer any Bible question that you have. You write down it, what it is, and next week that'll be our Bible study. You know what that was doing? I was teaching them, but I was learning myself. You know, some of the most faithful people you find in churches are those that are obeying God. They're doing it themselves. They're finding a place to serve. They're just not coming, sitting on a pew and falling asleep. But they're coming to a place to church, and they're excited about the things of God. You never get excited about the things of God by sitting on the bleachers. You never do. You got to get involved in serving Christ. Now, may I say, there's ways to lengthen your days. You can lengthen your days according to the Scriptures. If you so want to lengthen your days. But you have to decide that's what you want to do.